Hello and welcome. I'm Alec Hogg. By now, you've likely scanned the headlines on biznews.com or caught the interviews on our BizNews Radio and BizNews TV channels, but the real story often lives in the margins, the context that doesn't make the corporate press releases and the whispers that we pick up after the record button has been switched off. Whether it's the shifting sands of geopolitics or the political currents that are shaping our economy, that is what we do here. We strip away the polish to tell you the backstory and why it actually matters. This is the Editor's Desk. Exclusive analysis for our premium members. It's Thursday, the 5th of February, 2026. Let's take a look behind that curtain. Well, if you've been following the BizNews Daybreak show, the reason why I have a 5 a.m. Start, thank heavens, I'm an early morning person because I'd hate to think about having to do that I do it by design and because of love, but being forced to get up that early. But I'm up and about and listening and focused, and, well, the Daybreak show has been very popular amongst the tribe, and I hope you are amongst those who listen to it every day. And you would have heard in the last few days about the software apocalypse, the collapse of stocks that are in the software field. And the reason for this is a little startup company, or not so little anymore, but it's based in San Francisco and it's called Anthropic. And today we have an article in the Financial from the Financial Times, our partner, one of our two partners in London, and the FT explains what Anthropic has done that has given everyone so many reasons to panic. In 2025, last year, Anthropic released something called the Claude Code, and the Claude Code sent shivers down the spines of coders around the world, developers, those people who used to get paid lots of money to put the software together. And as the former chief technology officer at Dropbox put it, quoted in that article, we will never create code by hand again. Anthropic then put another grenade into the world of technology in January, when it released something called Cowork, which automates work tasks, it summarizes documents, it rewrites legal briefs, and changes what people in advertising are doing, the agencies are doing, stepping between the content providers who they pay and the customers who are on the other side. Claude Code has been flagged as being one of the stakes that is being driven into the heart of the advertising agency industry, with companies like WPP, Omnicom and Publicis highlighted as the big losers. Another big loser is the legal profession, where the ability now exists for anybody to use Anthropic's content and tools and do their own legal documentation. But that happened in January. So what happened on Friday to send the fear of God into software or those who own the shares in software companies and sparking that software apocalypse, as Wall Street observers have been calling it? Well, they brought in another addition to Cowork, but this time looking at providing tools for sales, for finance, for marketing, and for customer support. So it's not just targeting general, but now individual industries. I think about Xero, which we use for our financial products. Well, Anthropic is saying we got something better for you, and you won't have to be paying Xero a couple of thousand rand a month for their license fee. The same thing you can imagine from the sales side. Those who use Salesforce, marketing, customer relationship management, things like Monday.com. All of those companies have been under enormous pressure as the way that you can use Anthropic and artificial intelligence has made it so much easier. And you don't need to have experts who have in whom you've invested huge amounts of money to create software, which can now be done by people who are literally coding ignorant. It's a great story. It's in the Financial Times, and due to our licensing agreement with them, it's now republished on BizNews. And if you do one thing today, go and read it. It'll open your eyes to the future. It also waves a bit of a flag because the two big competitors to Anthropic are OpenAI and Google. And at this point in time, Anthropic appears to be winning. Our other London-based partner is The Economist. And it's a completely different story from The Economist today. And this one is headlined the UK's biggest political scandal in the past century. Now, that's saying something. You have the Profumo scandal, if you recall. There have been quite a few with Boris Johnson and co. But this one involves Peter Mandelson, who was riding the crest of a wave and was so full of his own self-importance that exactly a year ago, he was asked by the Financial Times, this soon-to-be British ambassador to the United States, about his relationship with Jeffrey Epstein, the convicted sex offender whose inner secrets are now being made public for all to look at. And you can do it. Go onto the Department of Justice US website. There is a search engine, and you can put in, as I see some people have on the WhatsApp groups, the premium WhatsApp groups, there's been a few of our tribe members who have clearly put in Cape Town or some South African names, and they've appeared in little black books, which is not necessarily anything big, or you've had the exposure of Jacob Zuma and a Russian high-level escort. That is one of the areas that Jeffrey Epstein specialized in. The other area that got everybody so angry was in underage girls. And he is a convicted pedophile. In fact, he was convicted in 2008, and he had to walk around with sex offender as part of his CV. And yet he was still able to connect and engage with the rich and famous. But back to Peter Mandelson. When the Financial Times asked him a year ago about this, he responded with, and I'm going to quote it verbatim, so if you are sensitive to bad language, please forgive me. "I'm not going to go into this. It's an FT obsession. And frankly, you can all just fuck off, okay?" Well, Mandelson lost his job in September after it was disclosed that he and Epstein, this was in a previous tranche of emails, were giggling like schoolboys about prostitutes, and they were joking about, quote, "a well-hung young guy." I've seen this kind of behavior before, this schoolboy giggles. At a dinner in Davos some years ago, back then, there used to be, I was part of what was then called the Global Media Council. It's departed for some time now, but it was really a wonderful networking opportunity and something that I looked forward to probably most in Davos. They used to give us little pens every year that you would remind you of that event. And the people who attended were many of the leading lights in journalism around the world, from the editor of The Economist and The Financial Times and The Wall Street Journal through to columnists like Thomas Friedman, who I got to know fairly well, and Martin Wolf from the FT and so on. People that in my profession, sorry, my trade, I looked up to and was able to interact with and get to know quite well. Gideon Rachman, who's got a close South African connection from the FT. And at one of those dinners, at my table, and we were towards the outer ring, as it was a youngish British politician called Ed Miliband. And these were small tables, only six people. And he sat at the one end, and his partner, secretary, I don't know what this guy was. Anyway, they were clearly quite close, was sitting at the other end of the table. And the two of them never engaged in conversation with the rest of us unless they absolutely had to. But what they did do was send each other direct messages and giggle like schoolgirls afterwards. And I thought to myself, this guy is going to be a British cabinet minister. How the hell can the British people vote him into office? But it seems as though this is something that occurs quite regularly within that establishment. Mandelson is now in even deeper trouble because of the latest group of or trove of information where his partner, husband, I think, was given money by the sex offender, Jeffrey Epstein. It appears as though Epstein might be gone, and we still don't know if he truly did commit suicide. But the great facilitator of the rich and famous is still having huge impacts in the world and continues to do so. That story from The Economist is in BizNews today. We close off with the editor's desk for today with one of our favorite columnists from Zimbabwe, Kathy Buckle. Kathy has stayed in Zim no matter what the difficulties are, and she writes a letter. She's an author. She's also a farmer. I think a small holding that she farms there. And she writes a weekly or so emailed letter that she sends out, and we have permission to republish it on BizNews. And this week's episode, which has just arrived in my inbox and which we are publishing today, talks about how the propaganda in Zimbabwe has now reached ridiculous levels. We did have an interview that Linda van Tilburg did earlier in the week with a Zimbabwean journalist that is well worth listening to. But this missive from Kathy is quite superb. She explains that it's Harari is telling the nation that Zimbabwe had a bumper maize crop in 2025, one of its best ever. She says, but the reality is very different. The milling companies say that their silos are empty and the shops have run out of maize and are having to scratch for imports wherever they can. This week, the government in Harare announced that they'd also had a bumper wheat crop, the biggest since production began in 1966, according to the Ministry of Lands and Agriculture. But Kathy tells us that that's not possible because everybody knows that there's masses of wheat that is being imported. And Trevor Ngobe's Newsday, one of the bravest men I know, Trevor, and he left South Africa to go back to his native Zimbabwe after an election which was stolen by Robert Mugabe, and it was pretty clear to everybody, excepting it seems the South African government or the ANC bigwigs, that Mugabe had essentially just changed the numbers. And Trevor went back because he said his country really needed him. And he started Newsday, and it is still a great source of information about Zimbabwe. And they did some analysis, because when the government were challenged about having so much import of wheat if we had this bumper crop, they said, no, the reason for that is that we in Zimbabwe produce soft wheat, and what we need is hard wheat and to make bread. So we have to import hard wheat to combine that with soft wheat. And as a result of that, that's how we make the bread. But we still had this bumper crop, biggest crop ever. And Trevor's Newsday went and had a look at the numbers and said, but the combination that they should be using would only account for 1/7 of the imports that are being produced by the wheat. And Kathy then points to another big pork pie from the Zimbabwean government, this time from the Minister of Finance, who announced last week that inflation is down to 4.1%. It's the lowest since 1997. Now, nobody can believe this, because the price in US dollars of everything in the shops is going up at quite a rapid rate. But the Minister of Finance says this shows the price stability as a result of the local currency, the ZiG. Kathy points out that the ZiG, which is the sixth currency that the Zimbabweans have now attempted in the last 20 years, is a controlled exchange rate with the US dollar. And nobody can get their hands on it. In fact, if you go into the shops, you can't buy anything with it, because no one accepts it. And actually, you can't get change from it. She explains how she went to buy something at her local store, gave the $5 for a product which was around $4, and the storekeeper said, can I give you pens or sweets or something else for the dollar, the $1, because I don't have change for you. And she said, no, well, just give me ZiG. And the storekeeper said, you are joking. We haven't had that kind of ever. And that's the reality of the propaganda that's going on in Zimbabwe. It seems the only people who believe that garbage are those in government who are deranged. And remember the derangement story? Richard Tedlow's book on Giants of Enterprise, where he unpacks it and says that when you get to a certain level in your society, be that business, and in this case in Zimbabwe, government, then you don't realize what is actually happening on the street, because A, you don't want to know, and B, because the people who are around you ensure your derangement continues by only giving you good news filters. If you like sweet tea, they will make sure that you have exactly 2 sugars in your tea, not 3, not 6, not 1, and not none. If you want to transport from one place to another, they will make sure that there is a blue light brigade that will sweep all others away from you, so you never ever have a traffic jam. And of course, there'll be no home invasions or hijackings or other issues that happen with you, because they will ensure that you have a security cordon that keeps you safe all the time. Such is the derangement factor, and such now is the insanity that has gripped our northern neighbor. Well, I'm going to leave it there for today. Keep an eye on your premium newsletter for links to our freshest published content, those articles from our London partners, and a lot more. Thanks for trusting us with your time. I'm Alec Hogg. Until tomorrow, cheerio.